Praise God. We just started our prayer class about 3 weeks ago, and last week I was really honored by a lady that had just moved here from Chicago, and she's living in Fordyce, and she's out trying to, you know, visit other different churches, and she said that when after I got through teaching, she came up to me and she said, "You know, I've been raised in church all my life, but I have never heard any teachings like this." And she was just amazed. And, you know, and it made me feel good. But at the same time, though, something else that I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me, and he gave me this scripture, and I got it in your handout. Has everybody got a handout? If you don't have one, if you raise your hand, we'll see if the ushers can get it. We'll get you one. We have an usher. I can't see. I see what Brother Willis was talking about the other night about he can't see anybody out there. The lights are blinding. But if anybody needs one, praise God. But in Acts chapter 17 and verse 10, Paul and Silas, they went to Berea. And there it says, whenever they arrived, that they went into the synagogues of the Jews. And these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, and not also not a few of the Greek, but prominent women as well as men. And you know what I see in this right here, if we want to be fair minded, if we really want to get a revelation, and you hear me say something tonight, or you hear any, whether you hear Brother Willis, or whether you hear Brother Dad Willis, or whether you hear Brother Jerry, or whoever it is that you hear say something, if it's contrary to something that you've been taught, always don't ever just discard it. But always search the scriptures to find out whether what they're saying is true. And I definitely encourage you to do that. And that's the reason why tonight in your handout, you've got several scriptures there, is because that's to help make it a whole lot easier for you to see that what I'm telling you, what I'm going to be telling you tonight, it may be a little bit different from what you've heard in the past. But all I'm going to ask you to do is search the scriptures to see whether it's true or not. Praise God. Now, tonight's message I'm going to be talking about, we're going to build a wall, and we're going to make the devil pay for it. Now, that may sound a little bit like Donald Trump's cliche about we're going to build the wall and make Mexico pay for it, but I can assure you that tonight's message is not political, it's spiritual. You know, we're going to learn that this wall that we're going to have to build up is a wall of resistance and a wall of self-control that will enable us to keep the devil out and for us to stay in tune with the Holy Spirit. Nehemiah, he was called to build a wall, and he built the wall with a gavel in one hand and a sword in the other hand, and I'm going to assure you that if you listen to what I'm telling you tonight, and you start being a doer of the word, and you do these things, you're going to find yourself doing the very same thing. You'll find yourself, because the devil doesn't want you to pray. The devil doesn't want you to give thanks to God. The devil wants you to keep murmuring, complaining, criticizing, and condemning. But let's look in James chapter 1 verse 25. It says, "But he who looks in the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful of the hearer but a doer of the work, he will be blessed in whatever he does." How many of you want to be blessed in everything that you do? Praise God. Well, we've got to be doers of the word. Last week, the Holy Spirit told me to start doing something in my class that I've never done before. But I see where he's going with this. He said, from now on, he said, as he leads me, not in every scripture, but as he leads me, whenever I have a scripture, to reword it in the form of a confession. And the reason, and I'm not going to go into the reason, but he explained him why he did it. But instead, I'm just going to say, let's be obedient with God's word. And then your handouts, when you see agreement with God's word, what I'm going to do is, of the scripture that we just quoted previously, what I'm going to do is we're going to confess it together. But I'm going to ask you, repeat after me, okay? Because some of you, if you can't read it, I heard somebody today say the printing was real small. So if you can't read it, don't worry about it. Just repeat after me, all right? I'm not going to be just a hearer of God's word today. I'm going to be a doer. And I will be blessed in whatever I do. Now, is it scriptural? Well, let's look at Proverbs chapter 25. We're talking about building a wall. The Bible says in Proverbs 25:28 in your handout, whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down without walls. This wall that we've got to build is a wall of resistance of doing what our flesh desires and doing what and start stop doing what our flesh desires and start doing what God desires. This wall controls your own personal spirit, man, and we're going to begin the foundation of this wall by disciplining ourselves to give God thanks in everything and for everything instead of murmuring and complaining. How many of you know it's really easy to be thankful whenever everything is going good, right? But that's not so easy, though, whenever things are going real bad and it seems like everything's going the wrong way. And I'm going to tell you that today, if you have your spiritual ears open today, I'm going to teach you how to discipline yourself to stand whenever your whole world seems to be crumbling around you. I'm going to teach you how to stand whenever, even though 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand. I'm going to teach you how to have faith in a hopeless situation. And I'm going to teach you how to make sure that the seed, whenever you speak the word of God, that it gets on good ground, and it all begins by entering into his gates with thanksgiving as instructed in Psalms chapter 100 verse 4. It begins with giving God thanks, not only in all things, but with all things. Is that scriptural? Let's look and see. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now let's come into agreement with God's word. Repeat after me. In everything I do, I'm going to give thanks to God. For this is his will concerning me, and I desire to do his will. Okay, now here it says give thanks to God in everything, but what about for everything? Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5. It says, giving thanks always for all. And the Greek word for all is what? Anybody remember Mark Gorman? All. Giving thanks to God for all things, always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's come into agreement with God's word. Repeat after me. Not only am I going to give thanks to God in all things, I will give thanks to God for all things, regardless whether my flesh feels like it or not. Regardless if my mind thinks I should do otherwise. I'm not going to be led by what I feel or think. I will be led by what God's word tells me to do. So, Father, thank you for every pain I feel in my body. Thank you for every financial situation that I'm facing now. Thank you for every family problem that I'm going through. I may not understand it, but I'm putting it in your presence as I thank you for it. See, to discipline ourselves to give thanks to God for all things rather than murmuring and complaining is the foundation of this wall. And I've learned years ago after winning a major battle in my life, and I'm not going to go through the testimony, but whenever Tabitha was 16 years old, you know, I was going through a battle, and God led me to read Prison of Praise. And that book completely changed my life, you know, and I found out from that book, from doing what the book tells me to do and thanking God in everything and for everything, that is absolutely impossible to thank God for everything and then turn around and murmur and complain and still be in thanksgiving. Absolutely impossible. You can't do it. Because every time when you start giving thanks to God, then what happens is, every time I started murmuring and complaining, after I gave thanks to God, every time I started murmuring, complaining, criticizing, condemning, I found out that the Holy Spirit would tap me on the shoulder and he said, I thought you was thankful for that. I'm going to tell you, he'll do the same thing to you. Because what happens is, and the reason why he has to tap you on the shoulder, you see, the Bible says that our tongue is like the rudder on a ship. And it determines which direction it is that we go. And whenever you're thanking for him, whenever you're thanking God, you're standing right in his very presence. You're facing him. You're able to hear him. But whenever you start murmuring, complaining, criticizing, and condemning, you turn your back on him. And when you turn your back on him, he's going to tap you on the shoulder and he's going to say, I thought you was thankful for that. Now, whenever that happens, Let me tell you something. Whenever that happens, then you've got a choice. You're going to have to make a decision. Should I stay or should I go? And it's up to you. You can either stay there and keep murmuring and complaining and keep seeing the problems get worse and worse and worse, or you can turn around, repent, and again start giving God thanks. Lord, yes, I'm sorry. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for this pain. I thank you for this family problem. I thank you for this financial situation. And whenever you start doing that, then you'll hear the voice of God and you'll see things change. Now, when I taught this, this is the same message I taught last week in my class. And whenever I said that, should I stay or should I go? And immediately it just came out of my mouth without even thinking about it. I said, next time you hear that commercial, you're going to think about what I'm saying. Little did I know that I was talking to myself. Because I went through a situation last Tuesday that it looked bad. I mean, real, real bad. And I'm sitting here having no idea about what to do. And whenever Carolyn called me later, it got so bad that I couldn't even think straight. I went to test a well and I'd end up texting my boss and I texted him the wrong thing. And he said, no, that can't be right. And I'd go back and sure enough, it wasn't right. I went to the next well and Carolyn called me and told her about what's going on and she got upset. And whenever she got upset, I got upset. And again, I missed the next well up, and my boss said, I think you're lost. And he said, but we'll talk about it later. At dinner, whenever I went in to eat dinner, he came, but while I was out there doing this, after all this right here happened, because I'm thinking, man, Lord, what am I going to do? And immediately, that song came to me in my spirit. I didn't hear it on the radio. Came to me in my spirit. Should I stay or should I go? I knew exactly what he was saying. Am I going to turn? Am I going to keep sitting right here in fear and everything, or am I going to turn around and start giving God thanks? And so I started turning around, giving God thanks. Whenever I went in for lunch, my boss came up to me and I heard him tell somebody as he was coming to my office. He said, "I'm going to have to go get Danny drug tested. I think the guy's already on drugs or something." And so whenever he got there, he pulled his phone out and I said, "No, wait a minute, let me tell you what happened," and I explained to him the situation. I said, "Look, I may end up having to go be off Friday to go up and take care of this situation." Whenever I explained to him, he said, "You're not going to take a vacation day. I'll pay you. Just go ahead and take care of it." He said, "I understand exactly what you're going through." But you know what? I thank God for that. I thank God that I had an understanding boss, but I kept thanking God. I knew that God was in this situation, and guess what? Before I got off from work that day, I got a phone call. Everything was completely turned around. Yesterday, I was looking for something, and I couldn't find it. I was looking about 2 hours, and while I was looking, I had my son down here from Shreveport. He was watching television, and I'm sitting around here looking, trying to figure out, where in the world is this thing at? And I know that I put it in this certain place, and then all of a sudden, that commercial came out. Should I stay or should I go? Oh, yes. Yes, Lord. Yes. I started thanking God for it, and immediately the Holy Spirit told me exactly where it was. It was the same place that I went and looked at 50 times already, and it was in a little black box. I dropped it in a box, and I never did even look in the box. But the Holy Spirit said, look at the box. You see, whenever you start thanking God, you can hear His voice. And whenever you hear His voice, then you can follow Him. The Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 10, and I may be getting away from my notes, but that's all right. I'm going to be led by the Holy Spirit on this. He says, how can you hear, how can you believe in whom you have not heard? Do you know what? If you guys sitting there murmuring, complaining, criticizing, and condemning, you're not going to hear. And if you're not going to hear, you're not going to be able to believe. And if you're not going to believe, all things are not going to be possible to you. Because all things are only possible to you if you believe. But your belief and your faith, you've got to first be able to hear God. It doesn't just come reading the Word of God. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and then hearing by the Word of God. It comes, first of all, by hearing God speak to you. And if you're sitting there out there in fear, murmuring, complaining, criticizing, condemning, I can assure you, you're not going to hear God. Now, this is what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 37. He said, "For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you are going to be condemned." So come in agreement with me and repeat after me. By my words I will be justified, and by my words I will be condemned. Therefore, I will be more careful to say the right words, to say what God tells me to say, instead of saying what I feel like saying, what I reason to say, or even what everybody else says. Praise God. That's what we've got to do. We've got to realize that what it is that we're saying. I've done got away from my notes and everything, but that's fine too. Now, let me show you what Jesus said. Let me explain something to you. If I'm stubborn, whenever the Holy Spirit points out, are you thankful for this? And if I'm stubborn and I'm saying, no, you know, this right here is happening, this right here shouldn't happen. If I stay in there, what happens then is I will automatically, by nature, start speaking stupid stuff. I will start saying, Lord, why am I going through this? And I'm going to ask you, if anybody else, don't show your hands, but has anybody ever went through this? Lord, why am I going through this? I go to church. I pay my tithes. I pray. I read the Bible. I teach Sunday school. I do this. I do that. I. Boy, it got quiet. You know what? Let me tell you what Jesus said happens whenever you do, when you start speaking stupid stuff like this. It's found over in Matthew chapter 7. This is in your handout in verse 22. It says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I would declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Now listen carefully to what Jesus is saying here, because when we start telling him things that what we do, that, you know, that we deserve better than this, I want you to understand one thing. You're going to get exactly what you deserve. And how many of you understand that the greatest thing that any of us deserve is hell? But Jesus took what we deserve so that we can obtain what he deserved. We deserve hell, but Jesus deserves heaven. But Jesus went to hell for us, although he didn't stay there. But he went there so that we won't have to go there. We deserve sickness, but Jesus deserves healing. But Jesus took the stripes so that you can be healed. So don't go telling God what you deserve, or you just may end up getting it. I've always thought that Matthew 7:22 was talking about the day whenever we die and we stand before God and we decide whether we're going to heaven or hell. But this week the Holy Spirit told me go back and read the prior verses back there. And so I went back one other verse above it, verse 21. And my page is trying to stick together, but this is Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. It says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. Now, it says, in that day, this is in verse 22, starts, in that day, Jesus is talking about, is not talking about heaven, it's talking about the kingdom of heaven, and there's a difference. Because according to Revelation chapter 21, verse 27, and this is in your handout too, the way you're going to be judged after you die is whether or not your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that's going to be determined whether you're going to go to heaven or whether you're going to go to hell. And there's not going to be no bargaining at all to telling God, well, Lord, didn't I do this or didn't I do that? Jesus spent most of his life teaching about two kingdoms. And both of these kingdoms are right here on this earth. And they are the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. Both of these kingdoms can be experienced in this life. The kingdom of God, according to Luke chapter 17, verse 20 through 21, is within you. It's right here on the inside of you. This is what Jesus said in Luke chapter 17, verse 20. He said, now, when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered and said to them, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. In other words, it don't come from what you hear, see, smell, touch, or taste. Nor will they say, see here or see there, for indeed, the kingdom of God is where at? It's within you. So the kingdom of God is within you. Now let's come into agreement with God's word. Repeat after me. The kingdom of God does not come with observation. The kingdom of God does not come by what I hear, see, smell, touch, or taste. The kingdom of God does not come by what others tell me. The kingdom of God is within me. And it comes by the Holy Spirit speaking to me. Holy Spirit, speak to your servant. For your servant desires to hear your wisdom. And not the wisdom of the world. Now this is a very important statement, and you need to get the understanding here. The kingdom of God does not come with observation. And according to the word of God, the kingdom of heaven, however, it does come with observation. It comes from observation because the kingdom of heaven is your outside world. And I know you're probably thinking, Brother Danny, you know, my outside world right now don't look nothing at all like heaven. And we're going to learn in this class that that the only way that our outside world is going to resemble anything like heaven is whenever we make a decision to, first of all, spend time in the kingdom of God within us and listen to God. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 12, he says that the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. The devil was not going to be in heaven, so there's not going to be no violence up there in heaven. The kingdom of heaven is right here. And the devil, he was kicked out right here on this earth, out of heaven, between Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. So, and he's remained there, and he's going to continue there until according to Revelation 20, verse 10, whenever he's cast into the lake of fire. So the devil is still here on this earth. He's the god of this world. And according to 2 Corinthians chapter 4:4, and according to Revelation 12, 10 and 12, the devil, he's our accuser, and he's accusing us day and night. Anybody ever, the devil's ever accused you of anything? All right, I said all this to say this. The kingdom of heaven is our outside world is filled with violence that we can see. If you don't believe me, go home and turn on the television and watch the news, and you're going to find about homicides, ISIS cutting people's heads off because they're Christians, people being shot, people being stabbed, people being beat up. Just last week over in New York City, there was a bomb made out of a pressure cooker that exploded, injuring 29 people. And last week in a Minnesota mall, there was a man that was dressed up like a security guard asking people whether they're Muslims or not, and if they said that they wasn't, he stabbed them. But the good news is that if we seek first the kingdom of God, which is on the inside of us, the things that we need in order to survive on the outside world, regardless of ISIS or anybody else, is right here. It's right here. It comes from the inside out. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, Jesus said, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto us." Now, let's come into agreement with God's word. Repeat after me. I will seek first the kingdom of God, which is in my heart. Instead of seeking help from the outside world, and all of God's provisions, and all of God's healings, and all of God's protections will be added to me. We will experience the kingdom of heaven. We're going to learn first to enter into the kingdom of God, which is inside of us, and then we can take dominion. That's what God created us to do from the very beginning. And what we've got to do in order to take dominion is we've got to be connected to Him. How many of you understand that you can go to Walmart, you can buy the very best food processor that is out there, top of the line, pay good money for it. It slices, dices, and does everything in the world. But whenever you take it home and you put all that stuff in there, I'm going to tell you something. That food processor cannot do anything until it gets connected to the power source. Neither can we. We've got to be connected to the power source. I want to end this by telling you this. I'm going to give you something. I shared this with the class this morning. It's something that happened whenever Tabitha, raise your hand. That's my daughter. She did it like this. Raise your hand up here real high where everybody can see you. Tim's pointing at her. This is my daughter. Whenever she was only 5 years old, God taught me something through her that really changed my life. We went to a Kenneth Copeland camp meeting. And I tell you, it was great. But while we were there, every day, Carolyn couldn't go. It was me and my mom and Tabitha. Like I said, she was only 5 years old. She would go to Willie George, and we'd go to the camp meeting. While we were there, we would call back home every night and talk to Carolyn. Now, before we went there, Tabitha had two gerbils, a male and a female, and they had some baby gerbils. She had three baby gerbils. And on Tuesday, the second day that we were there, Carolyn told me, she said, these gerbils somehow they end up getting out of the cage. Well, they're so little, they went right through the bars. Then they got out of the cage, and she said, I was able to get two of them, but I still can't find the third one. And that's okay. And I explained that to Tabitha, and she didn't seem like she had no problem with it at all at that particular time. But it was later on during the week. This was on Saturday. We was on our way home. We was in my mom's motorhome. And I'll never forget this. I had been listening to the teaching of Jerry Sabell. Anybody know Jerry Sabell? Jerry Sabell, I'll never forget the message he was teaching. He was teaching, if the devil can't steal your joy, he can't steal your goods. And you know what? He said, what you need to do. He said, whenever you're praying, whatever it is you want from God, you need to visualize, because without a vision, the people perish. He says, you need a vision. God supplying that need, and then you need to rejoice immediately right then, because God's giving you the answer. So whenever we got in the motorhome, we started leaving. Tabitha was sitting on the right next to her, been in the back seat there, and she started crying. And I said, baby, what's wrong? And she said, I'm sad. I said, well, why are you sad? She said, my third baby gerbil, I don't know where it is, and I wish Mama could have found it. And I said, Tabitha, because this ministry is still inside of me, so strong about what Jerry Savelle was teaching there. I said, Tabitha, what would you do if you got home and you looked in that cage and you saw that gerbil? She said, oh, Daddy, I would start thanking God. I would raise my hands. I would start dancing. I would start shouting. I would start doing the victory dance. I said, then get up here right now, right here in this motorhome, and you start doing it. You start praising God. You start lifting your hands. I want to tell you something about that little girl. She got up there, and she ran up and down the aisles of that motorhome, shouting and praising God. She looked like she was definitely a Pentecostal, because she was just thanking God from the top of her voice, and she didn't stop for 30 minutes. She just kept on praising God, and she did it until she just couldn't speak no more. And so then she went about and settled down, and never heard nothing else about it. Now, in my mind, what I'm thinking is, Lord, let that gerbil be there. Because if that gerbil ain't there, what's going to happen to her faith? Well, guess what? When we got home, guess what? She went right straight to that gerbil's case, and you know what she saw? No. Two of them. The third one was still not there. My eyes got big. Tabitha never said nothing. She went right back, right on into her room and started playing. Never said a single word. 1 week later, I'm in the laundry room, and I'm washing some clothes. Carolyn's at work, and I'm washing clothes. And I picked up a sheet, I think it was, and I saw, whenever I picked it up, I saw something fall from the sheet. And I saw it moved, and I looked down there, and there was that little baby gerbil, and it was started running, trying to get under the washing machine. I scooped it up, and I came running out there, and I hollered for Tabitha. She was back there in her room. I said, Tabitha, come here, look, look, look. And I put the gerbil there in the cage, and she came running in there. She said, what is it, Daddy? I said, look, I found the third gerbil. It's right here. And it was a lot smaller than all the other two, but it was a little runt. But I said, look, here he is. He's still alive. She said, uh-huh. So then she just turned around and went back to her room. I said, Tabitha! I said, this is your gerbil. It's alive. Aren't you going to thank God for it? Aren't you going to give him praise for it? Aren't you going to shout the glory dance? She said, she put her hands on her hips and said, Daddy, I did that back in the motorhome. Don't you remember? We named that little gerbil, Miracle. I asked her a while ago, I said, Tabitha, do you remember Miracle? She said, yes, I do. Miracle lived longer than her brothers or sisters. Even though she was the runt, she lived longer than her brothers or sisters, and lived longer than her parents. It lived longer than any of them. I'm going to tell you something. I don't care what kind of situation that you're facing right now. I want you to think. I want you to ask yourself, what would you do? What would you do if you was to go home and you was to see this miracle, this thing turn completely around? What would you do? Would you shout? Would you give God praise? I'm talking about if it's your kids that needs to get saved, what would you do if you got home and you got a phone call and it was your kids and said, I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior and I've turned my life around? What would you do if you're in a financial situation and you go home and you get a phone call and they tell you that the money that you need, it's here? What would you do if you was going through a marriage problem and all of a sudden that thing just turned completely around? What would you do if you're needing a job and then you find and get home and the phone rings and it says, I've got a job waiting for you. Can you make it here in the morning? What would you do? What would you do? I want you to think about it. Whatever situation that you're going through, what would you do? Would you sit there like you're doing right now? Or would you start giving God praise and glory and just shouting? How many of you would raise? How many of you would get up and start shouting to God if that happened to you? How many of you would do that? Then get up off your feet and start giving God praise right now. Start thinking of Jesus. Start thinking of right now. Begin to believe that God wants you to see that it's done. See that it's changed. See that it's turned around. We're going to change our things by giving God thanks. We're not going to allow the murmuring, complaining, and criticizing and condemning to come out of our mouth. We're going to give thanks to God in all things and fall. Are all things. Andre Crouch, in his song Through It All, said, if I never had a problem, I'd never know that God could solve them. I'd never know what faith in God could do. Through it all. Through it all. I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all. Praise God. Leave out of here rejoicing. Leave out of here rejoicing. And I promise you that the next time you enter those doors, you're not going to be the same as the way that you came. Leave out of here rejoicing. God bless each one of you.